everybody. It is Becky Jarrow. I am here. And I want to apologize. Last night, couldn't do a show. Why? Because, well, I did something really kind of stupid, quite frankly. I went, you know, I had to bring groceries in. You know, I went shopping, grocery shopping, and I have a bad back. I fucked up my back when I was working in retail. I used to work retail. Used to have to, you know, unload heavy trucks and things like that and throw stuff around. And, well, during that period, I fucked up my back. And so ever since then, I've had an issue where, yeah, I'm okay for the most part, but if I overstress, I pay for it. So what I was doing yesterday was I was bringing in groceries. And you know how, you know, you have a trunk full of groceries and you got like 10 or 15 or 20 different bags there. And you want to say, well, fuck it. I don't want to make 10 trips. I want to make 5 trips. So let me see if I can carry 4 bags at a time. Big mistake. Yeah. Big mistake. Okay. I basically just really fucked myself up. Well, luckily, I had a couple of oxycodone left over from some dental work that I had done a while ago. And so they're very effective. I saved those because, like, you know, when I have the dental work done, you take them when you need them for pain. But then when you're done, I save them because, you know, if my back goes out, they're very effective for that. And, you know, it's difficult to just go to the doctor and say, hey, doc, could you, like, give me, like, a bottle full of oxycodone for my back? It's not the kind of thing you want to, you know, because, and the truth is you really don't want to get, you know, I mean, when I was young, I got into some trouble with narcotic pills, and I don't want to go there. Do not want to risk to revisit that time of my life. But, you know, sometimes you need something for pain. So, I had these pills, and so I took one last night. Because I was in a lot of pain. Well, the problem is, I mean, oxycodone is great for helping you with the back pain. It does. I mean, it doesn't make it go away 100%, but boy, it really helps. It really does. So I took one of these, and what it does is, though, it makes you stupid. So what you would have got if I had tried to do 2 hours last night, what you would have gotten from me would be like, because you can't formulate your thoughts. It's difficult. I mean, those of you who have ever done this, if you've ever been behind a microphone and you have to talk for an hour or 2 hours or whatever, you have to have something to say. You have to reasonably think fast. And so, you know, you can't do things like do drugs and smoke pot and stuff like that before you go on the air. Because if you do that, you're going to sound like an idiot and everybody's going to know you're fucked up. And that's the whole point is you don't want to be fucked up. You know what I mean? I don't want to be fucked up when I'm on the radio. I have things I want to talk about. So, speaking about things I want to talk about, did you hear about Laverne Cox? She's on the fucking cover of Time Magazine. Oh, my God. This is awesome. Okay, now, it's really funny because there doesn't seem to be a whole lot of, you know, I mean, yeah, there was like a flurry of stuff on Facebook, but it doesn't seem like everybody's all excited about this. And I wonder, you know, I wonder about this because, I mean, don't get me wrong. I love Laverne Cox. I think she's awesome. But I wonder, and I'm not saying that this is true, but I'm asking the question: Have we kind of reached our saturation point with Laverne for a little while? I mean, don't get me wrong. Again, I think she's awesome, but she's everywhere. Her picture is even in places on stories that have nothing whatsoever to do with her or her show or anything to do with her. But they just show a picture of Laverne. She is like the trans woman now. She is the trans community in the media, which is insane. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I think she's a great person. But, you know, I mean, you know, you would think Janet Mock at least should get a little bit of that, don't you think? Carmen Carrera. Well, Carmen Carrera is getting a little bit now because all of a sudden people are having problems with her because, you know, she dared to call out RuPaul. So, you know, she's not worth three shits. She's a piece of shit because she dared to call out the Lord God RuPaul. You know, with all the drag queens worship at the altar. I mean, it's so sad. It really is. It's fucking sad. I'm sorry it is. That we have to, that we're winding up, it's like people are choosing sides. And I guess we have to. I guess we have to. I mean, because you know what? This is a battle, and it is not going away. I mean, when I wrote my article, my first article for The Advocate, the one that was basically the first op-ed I wrote for them, and I called them out, and I said that basically what they were interested in was money. They didn't give a fuck about people. And I still, you know what, I still think that that's true. I really do. I'm sorry, but I don't think RuPaul really gives a shit about the community. I think what RuPaul gives a shit about is RuPaul. And making sure that RuPaul gets paid. And making sure that RuPaul has all the things that RuPaul wants for RuPaul. I think that's what RuPaul cares about. RuPaul doesn't care about you. RuPaul doesn't care about the queens that appear on her show. RuPaul doesn't care about Worlds of Wonder. RuPaul doesn't care about Logo. RuPaul cares about RuPaul. And that's what we have to remember. This is a selfish bastard who is only interested in making money for himself. That's what he cares about. He has admitted as much. It's not like I am revealing something here. He has said this. I mean, openly. This is not something that I am making up. He has been quoted. Okay, in fact, you know what? I'm gonna read the quote to you right now because I actually quoted this in one of my own articles. So let me see. I'm going to go right now while we are on the air. I am going to go to that article, and I am going to read you the quote that I quoted. Okay, again, this is not something that I made up. This is not an opinion of mine or anyone else's. This is what RuPaul said himself. Okay, now I am, while I was blah, blah, blahing just this moment, I was going through the article, and let's see, here we go. Let's see. Okay, yes, oh, here it is. Okay, and this is RuPaul talking about his drag performance. He says, quote, "I do it once in a while for fun, but I really only do it when I'm getting paid. Cha-ching." No, seriously, he actually said that. Cha-ching. That's what this guy cares about. Cha-ching. That's what this guy is about. He doesn't give a fuck about you. He doesn't give a fuck about Carmen Carrera. He doesn't give a fuck about Our Lady J. He doesn't give a fuck about Courtney Act. He doesn't give a fuck about Gay Voices. He doesn't give a fuck about Logo. He doesn't give a fuck about Worlds of Wonder. And he sure as hell doesn't give a fuck about anyone who is not himself. Cha-ching. That's what this guy is about. Cha-ching. Seriously, when are we going to stop acting like this guy walks on water? He does not. He's just another gay male actor trying to make a buck. And you know what? He's entitled to do it. I'm not going to denigrate this guy for trying to do the same thing that I'm trying to do, okay? Be somebody who markets their work and make a few bucks on it. I will never denigrate anybody for doing that. But at least be fucking honest about it. Don't act like you're some big shot activist, somebody who has the best interests of the community at heart. You don't have anything but your own fucking wallet at heart. Understand, this guy is a, what was the word I used? A profiteer. Yes, that's the word I was looking for. A profiteer. Do you know what a profiteer is? A profiteer is somebody who, it's exactly what it sounds like. Looking to make money, not looking to do good, not looking to provide a voice for the community, not looking to be representative or any of these high, lofty goals, looking to cash a paycheck. That's what this guy wants. And you know what? More power to him. I'm not going to denigrate anybody for wanting to bring home the cash. I sure as hell do. But you know what? I'm also not going to make it like it's anything other than that. Okay? But you know what? I mean, I believe, and I've said this before, my work speaks for itself. And I think RuPaul's work speaks for itself. I think that's what's going on here. You read my work. You read my words that I put out there. Okay? You know what I'm about. Okay? You may agree. You may disagree. Okay? But you know what I'm about. You read RuPaul's words, and you know what he's about, too. Cha-ching. Cha-ching. That's what this guy is about. Okay? And don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. More power to him. I couldn't care less. But don't try to make it like you're some big shot. Like you're some icon, some media figure that represents anything other than yourself. I mean, really. I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm just going off on a tangent, but you know. Oh, here's another thing. This is interesting. I mean, enough blathering on about RuPaul. This guy's I'm just annoyed. I mean, why are we still talking about this guy? Hopefully, Logo will just cut this guy loose. I mean, he'll turn up. He'll resurface like a piece of old styrofoam periodically, like a torn breast implant. although that was terrible and awful and misogynistic, and I shouldn't say it. But then again, he's not really a woman, so it can't be misogynistic. So fuck it. I'll just say it anyway. In any case. In any case, there's other stuff going on in the world. You know, it's interesting. I don't know if you've seen this. There's this video by Arcade Fire. Now, you know, I'm no expert. I mean, my musical interest, the bands I actually follow, ends somewhere around 1992, quite frankly. So I'm not real familiar with this band, but apparently they did a video, and they got Spider-Man, Andrew Garfield, the guy who plays Spider-Man, to star in this video where he plays, I guess it's supposed to be some sort of a trans woman of some sort, but you know, it was obvious. You know what this was? It was so obvious that these were people who wanted to do something like queer/trans supportive, but they didn't have a fucking clue what they were doing, or what it means to be gay, what it means to be transgender, or what it means to be queer in general. They just didn't understand it at all. They just didn't. And it showed. It was so, so obvious. And what's interesting was Laura Jane Grace actually called out the group and said, you know, you could have cast a trans actor or actress, which I thought would have been extremely appropriate. But, you know, why not? You know, after all, why are we going to cast somebody authentic when we can have Spider-Man? Because, you know, that's what it's really about. It's not about sending a message. It's about selling records. And don't forget that. And again, just as in the case of RuPaul, I'm not going to denigrate this band for saying, hey, we want to sell records. But if you're going to try and make it that you're trying to send a message and you're trying to, you know, well, you can't do both. Either you're selling records or you're sending a message. Okay, now you can try to do both, but the reality is when you put one more important than the other, people who are invested in that message are going to notice, and they're going to call you out on it. So, I think Arcade Fire probably had the right attitude in mind, kind of had the right, had their heart in the right place, if you will. But boy, did they fuck that one up. I'm sorry, they just did. And so, what are you going to do? But nevertheless, I thought Laura Jean Grace had such a great line. Basically, she said, you know, you couldn't have cast a trans actor, trans actress. I think it matters. I, it says something where it's like, oh, well, what do we need an authentic trans woman for when we can have Spider-Man instead? I mean, I think that tells you something. It says something. It conveys a certain something. It just does. And in any case, let's see, what else is going on? Now, you know, one of the things I'm missing since moved over to Blog Talk Radio is I'm still having trouble figuring out how to do video and stuff, and I'm working on that. But I also want to tell you, one of the reasons why I don't have any clips and stuff, part of the reason is because this has been my first week working for The Advocate. I also have another job as editor-in-chief of the Acts of Greatness blog. So between those two jobs, I haven't really had a lot of free time. But there's one other thing that's been filling up all my free time. Whatever little bit of free time that I've been having over these last couple of weeks, well, over the last 3 days anyway. I don't know how many of you are familiar with this, but there's this new video game out called Watch Dogs. It's really good. Now, of course, this is a very high-end game. You need a good computer to run the thing, but it's really good. Basically, it's this open-world game, and you play this character who is... he has... I don't know what you'd call it, a magic phone, basically. He can hack into anything. He can hack into cameras. He can hack into explosive devices that people are carrying and blow them up. He can hack into people's lives and like steal money from their accounts and take it out at ATMs. It's like, what would you do if you had control of the internet? If you had complete control of all the information that's going through computers, and you were able to turn that to your advantage. That's what this is about. It's very addictive in its way. It's a great game. Having a lot of fun with it. But what's interesting is I've discovered that my computer sometimes can't handle it. It's kind of funny. I have a new video card in there, but my processor is still old. And what happens is especially on warm days, my computer can overheat. If I play this particular game, and there's a few other games like this that can overheat my computer. So I think I need to upgrade my processor. I need to upgrade my cooler. There's a cooler on top of your processor. That most of you, if you have a high-end computer, they have this. It's like a fan that's right on top of the thing. Keeps it cool. Keeps from overheating. Well, my computer is it's a few years old, and, well, it's starting to have issues like that. So I think it's time to upgrade. Unfortunately, one of my younger brothers is really good with hardware, so I'm going to go and buy myself a processor when I can afford it, and then I'm going to take it to him and have him install it because he knows what the fuck he's doing, unlike me. I was able to install a video card by myself. I was very impressed, but processor... I'll leave that for Julian, because he's good. In any case, so I've been having a lot of fun with this game, but periodically what happens is if I play too long, all of a sudden the computer will just shut itself off. Goodbye. It just turns itself off, and then, you know, you wait a few minutes, and then you turn it back on, and it's fine. I mean, it's not like the computer craps out and dies or anything. It just shuts off because it gets too hot, and so it stops working. What I think is happening is, because I see this happen occasionally, like Firefox will crash occasionally if I use it too much. If I put up Firefox right after I play this game, sometimes Firefox will crash. But then only Firefox crashes. With this, I think what's happening is my video drivers are crashing. And what's happening is that when the video drivers crash, it takes the whole fucking computer with it, so you get a black screen shutdown. Okay, now this is not the tech hour, so we're not going to get the detail on this, but suffice it to say, it's rather annoying. So I'm looking to upgrade my processor. I'm looking to upgrade my cooling system. I'm glad that I'm able to do that, and hopefully I'll be able to figure out how to do this. But in any case, so there's been a lot of interesting stuff going on, you know, between, and I think a lot of it is interconnected, because with the RuPaul thing, with Laverne Cox, I think these things are connected, because Laverne is she already is hugely popular, and not only is she hugely popular, but she's hugely great as a spokesperson. Just as Janet Mock is. Although I think Laverne right now, I think probably because, you know, Orange is the New Black is about to start its new season. It's, you know, so I think Laverne is getting a lion's share of this. And plus, she was on the fucking cover of Time magazine, so that may have a little bit to do with it. You know, but, and again, I think that the problem is that there's a danger, I think. And it's a concern. I mean, it's not a danger. Maybe the danger is too strong of a word, but there's a concern. A concern that we all become Laverne Cox to the mainstream media, and we're not all Laverne Cox. We're not all pretty. We're not all African American. We're not all actresses. We're different. Some of us are white. Some of us write. Some of us do media. Some of us don't do any of this stuff. Some of us are just normal. Not all of us are pretty. Not all of us are girls. I mean, you know, but it just seems like, I don't know about you, but I think maybe the community is reaching a saturation point with Laverne Cox for now. I mean, now, you know, 3 months from now, that can be completely different. And that is not a reflection on Laverne in any way. I just think she's been a little, just we're seeing so much of her. She 1 minute she's at Creating Change, then she's making a speech over here, now she's on the cover of Time, now she's in this. It's like, all right, okay, you know, it's like, can we, like, also talk about other trans people, too, besides Laverne? Really? I mean, no, again, don't get me wrong, love for Laverne. But, you know, there are others out there, and I don't even mean myself, please, God. I mean, how about Janet Mock? I mean, come on. I mean, this woman just had a New York Times bestseller. Fuck, man. How about bringing her in on this stuff? It just seems like all of a sudden the whole community or the whole mainstream media has just shifted, which sucks. And because I think Janet is entitled, or entitled is a strong term. I don't know if that's the correct term. Deserves is a better term. Deserves more attention. That is a fucking great book that she released. It deserves more attention, I think, personally. You know, I I'll tell you. Oh, here's another thing. I was gonna talk about this. This is unbelievable. I was quoted in the National Review, one of my first article, in fact, for The Advocate as the media correspondent. As my first article for them, I'm quoted in National Review. Now, National Review, you should understand, it's a very, very prestigious magazine. It's kind of like being quoted, like on the left, it's kind of like being quoted in Time or, you know, U.S. News or World Report or something. You know, it's one of the, you know, the American Progressive, The Nation, you know. It's pretty prestigious, but this is a conservative, very right-wing publication. And they quoted me. It's kind of interesting because, you know, on the one hand, you want to say, well, you know, isn't it great that this, you know, very prestigious magazine is quoting my shit? Yeah, sure it is. But it's like, you know, on the other hand, I'm saying, yeah, but it's, you know, it's the National Review. And the National Review is, you know, again, very right-wing. I'll read the part that they quoted from. I was talking about the situation with
RuPaul and about respect for trans women. And I was comparing it sort of to the normal heart and the emotions that are in the normal heart that you see in the movie The Normal Heart, which was just on HBO. Excellent, by the way. If you have not seen it, I recommend it. Okay, and here's what I said. This is basically the quote that they took. I started off by saying, and this was not in the article, but I wrote this. I said, no, it's not the same kind of life or death and death situation as AIDS. And then I said, but it's exactly the same when it comes to the demands for respect and simple human dignity every straight person, or in this case, every cisgender person, takes for granted. It's about wanting to scream at the top of your lungs. This is what they quoted. It's about wanting to scream at the top of your lungs, why don't you people get why this is wrong? It's about how those who are once the oppressed are now feeling entitled to take on the role of the oppressor themselves with a less politically potent minority. What's more, it's about how they're doing it gleefully and with a big public middle finger to those they oppress. That's what they quoted me on. Now, I should also point out that they quoted Monica Roberts, too. But what they did was something that I, frankly, was not comfortable with. Let's put it this way. Did I think that there was any malice involved here? I can't say. I don't know. But I thought it was disrespectful. I'll put it that way. Okay? I don't know. I don't want to say it was racist. I don't want to say, I don't want to throw any of those kind of things in it because I don't know. I can't make those kind of accusations. But I did think it was disrespectful. Okay? And that, because what they did was they referred to Monica they wrote about me in my op-ed and again what they were arguing for me and they were correct in my making my case this way, that they were presenting my case, so I don't have an issue with the way they presented it. They said that my opinion, RuPaul is not a trans woman. Because RuPaul is not a trans woman, he does not have the right to use the word tranny, female, and it is in effect oppressing a minority even smaller than the gay minority, which arguably has been accepted into pop culture more than the trans community has, which is, yes, absolutely. That is exactly what I'm saying. Now, they say another blogger, okay, and yes, she is a blogger, Trans Grio, who identifies as a black trans woman, which is like, what, you couldn't dig out her name? Come on. I mean, I don't know whether that's intentional or it's just sloppy journalism. I don't know. I'm not going to make any accusations because I don't know. I mean, I can't read I don't know what the mindset of the reporter who wrote this. Okay, there was a horribly transphobic article about Laverne Cox in the same issue. So you know where these people are coming from. Okay, but you know what? This article was actually not entirely unreasonable. I'm not going to go through the whole article. A woman named Christine Sisto wrote it, which is, oh my God, but the real issue, you want to know, conservative, read some of these comments. Oh my God, they're so disgusting. I mean, they really are. They're just awful, horrible people making Rocky Horror, I mean, it's like, you wonder half the time, it's like, do they ever, read the words, or do they just, filter it through their own ideology? I mean, the answer, of course, it's they filter it through their own ideology, because that's what they're comfortable with, that's what they know. They're not willing to be educated. They've made up their mind about what the world is, the way they decide that's it. And that's it. You can't tell them anything. And that's kind of disappointing. Because everybody should be willing to learn. These people are not. I mean, they're really not. I'm not just saying that to be hyperbolic or anything. It's the truth. They've made up their minds. they have decided this is what is, and this is what I believe. You know, people who, like, for example, you know, I believe the world is 6,000 years old, or 2,000 years old, whatever the hell it is, 6,000 years old, and that's it. But, you know, there were dinosaurs on the ark, you know, on Noah's ark, because, you know, the magic man in the sky said so, and I you know, stuff like that. Now, okay, all right, I'll be a little snarky about the whole Christianity, Judeo-Christian thing, but it's the truth. It's the truth. These people make up for their minds for themselves, which is their right. But they will not say, you know, maybe religion and science can coexist. Maybe 6,000 years, as it's presented in the Bible, is not the same 6,000 years as we reckon that time period today. Does anybody ever stop to think about that? That maybe 6,000 years, what we refer to, which was somehow translated into whatever ancient biblical language they wrote this thing in back when, that maybe the word years wasn't properly translated. Maybe they meant eons or what's the word? You know, centuries or... You know, could have been whatever. I mean, it could have been a lot different, I think, frankly, that the Bible is bullshit. But that's neither here nor there. I think it was the first action-adventure novel. You know, people just got a little too invested. And that's what happens. When you teach people who know nothing, they're living in a sandpit, and you say, hey, I've got, you know, I mean... Does anybody remember the story of the golden calf? Okay, that is a very, very basic lesson about the way people considered deities back then. Why are we so sure that this isn't exactly the same thing? That Jesus... He wasn't divine. What he was a master politician. Somebody, he was the Barack Obama or the Bill Clinton of his time. Seriously. He had followers. He converted people. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. I think that is exactly what it is. He was competing with paganism. Now, I'm not going to get into all this theology because, quite frankly, I'm not qualified by any stretch. But, you know, it's interesting how people have this one vision of how things must have been all that time ago. And that's it. That's it. They're not going to... listen to anything that you tell them or that you, you know, I mean, nobody talks about transsexuals in the Bible, but yet they decided that we're bad because why? Because Bible, because we don't know why, but we're going to decide that. I mean, you know, there's so many things. If people really wanted to be good Christians, well, they wouldn't be eating pork. They wouldn't be working ever on Sundays. Men would be shunning women when they had their menstrual cycle. You know, I mean, there would be all these other things that we do, but we don't do because we live in the real world and we understand that these things are not relevant to modern society because they were written by sheep herders who lived in the desert and their world is not the world we live in today. It's the same reason why when our founding fathers of this country created the United States Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, well, excuse me, actually the Constitution, I should say, not the Declaration, but the Constitution, they made it amendable.
They made it so that they say, you know what, when this doesn't work anymore, you can add to it and fix it and change it and use it to evolve along with the country and with the world that we're in. They understood that that would have to be done as time went on. They knew that. These folks were pre-industrial, but they knew that what was coming. They knew things would have to change. They knew that the world that they lived in those days was not going to be the world that was forever. And that their country that they were creating, our country today, would have to grow and evolve and change along with the world around it. And so they created an amendment process and a Bill of Rights. And they added to it. It's the same thing here. Nothing lasts forever. The world has changed. I mean, is changing, will always be changing, but has changed. And you either get with the program or you're left behind. And I think that that's what's happening. And this may take a while. But I think that what we're seeing now, what we're seeing happen, is that we're starting to get that message. Okay? Yeah, gay marriage in particular is the forefront of this. But that's just the most visible. Don't forget how long it took for the folks with gay marriage just to catch up with where workplace rights were. Okay, now they're tied again, 18 each, I believe. Unless, I don't know, I don't remember. Last I heard it was 18 states that have gay marriage, 18 states that protect gender identity in their workplace laws. So think about that. Think about that. It took gay marriage all those years just to catch up with where we were, not the gay community, where we were, the trans folks. And everybody's saying, oh, well, the momentum was with gay marriage. It's like, what, haven't you been paying attention for the last decade? The momentum is right here. The problem is the money is with marriage. It's not the momentum that's with marriage. It's the cash. It's the money. It's the little slips of paper that politicians drool over. It's the reason these people pay any attention to what you want at all, because you're paying them to. Do you think Andrew Cuomo gives a shit whether you live or die? Fuck no. You have no money for him. Do you think the Democratic Party leadership in the House gives a shit whether you live or die? Fuck no. You have no money for them. You don't represent enough votes. They've got their rich gay donors covered. They've taken care of the wealth, the agenda of the wealthy. They're covered. They don't give a shit. You don't represent enough money. The people who they care about don't have to worry about where their next meal is coming from or if they're going to pay the rent. They already have good jobs and nice homes. So these people in Congress don't give a fuck about you because you're working class. And you and your petty-ass $20 donation can go take a fucking walk. They're only listening to the millionaires. You want to talk to Barack Obama about LGBT rights? Going to cost you $35,000 to play, friend. Want to talk to Hillary Clinton? Well, maybe that might cost you cheaper. She hasn't been president yet. It only cost you $5,000. Yeah. You want to talk politics with actual politicians that are not looking for your vote? You better pony up, friend, because if you're not willing to make with the cash, nobody wants to talk to you. Nobody notices. Nobody cares. You can't even get fucking Rachel Maddow to get gender identity correct on television. So why the fuck should any of these politicians give a shit about you? You can't even get the media to pay attention. Now, fortunately, you know what? Things are changing. Well, so far not with Maddow. But things are changing. I mean, a year ago, I didn't have the job I have today.
Parker Malloy didn't have the job she has today. That's progress. That's progress.
Oh, fuck.
Now, oh my goodness. I certainly hope that this is still going. I don't know, but I'm going to keep talking anyway, because we just crashed. Okay, so this will be very interesting to see if I actually kept going through that. I just had, believe it or not, while I was talking to you just now, in case there was not a gap in my speech, because Skype did not go down, but Firefox crashed just now. And I brought it back up, and now it's fine. My timers are all fine. Everything looks fine. And Skype is still up, so I'm hoping, because Skype never missed a beat, so I'm hoping that you probably never even noticed that I didn't even have my browser up for about 30 or 40 seconds there. Yeah, we got about 10 minutes left. But, you know, I think it's interesting. What we are witnessing now, I believe, is, and I think this is, people have called it this, a tipping point. Time Magazine called it that. I think that's a fair point. I think we are at a tipping point. I think we've been at that tipping point for a while now. It's only now that people are actually starting to notice. Do you know what I'm saying? Think about this, okay? Don't forget, remember Katie Couric, Carmen Carrera, Laverne Cox, Pierce Morgan, Janet Mock? That was the real tipping point. That was finally when people started saying, enough! Fuck it! We're done with this crap. We want you to treat us decently, and we will not put up with your bullshit anymore. We will not. We will not. We will not. And I think that was the true tipping point. I think now it's like all of a sudden people are going, whoa, hey, shit, there's something going on over there. Well, maybe we should pay attention to this because I think like there's something going on over here. Yeah, hey, straight friends, come on over here and like pay attention. I think these trans folks are like, whoa, they're getting kind of pissed off, aren't they? Wow. Well, maybe we ought to like figure out and pay attention to what they're saying here, because whoa, it sounds like they have something they want to tell us. I mean, seriously, that's what I think it is, because it's like it takes a while for the penetration. Do you know what I'm saying? It takes some time for it to penetrate. It will always take time. But the problem is we have a president and a Congress that are so dense. It's like trying to drill through fucking concrete. I mean, here's a guy, he literally, yet again, forgot all about the working class in his pride proclamation. Yes, we got his pride proclamation. You know, it's funny. I got on the White House mailing list for LGBT media. The White House. I have no idea who put me on this list. I have no idea where this came from. I mean, I'm assuming that it must have come like when I visited the White House at one point when I went to the convening this year, we went on a White House tour. So I'm thinking maybe that was it. I don't know. I really don't. But the president issued a proclamation today, and I'm looking for it. I don't know. I don't know why I'm not finding it. I know I have it. I know I have it because I saw it earlier. And now, of course, because I want to read it on the air, I'm not finding it. Why the hell is that? Let me see here. Oh, come on now. Now, see, I'm really annoyed now. But basically, it was one of the president's usual things where, you know, it's like, rah, 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 you know. I mean, yeah, he mentions, oh, it's a terrible thing that people who can't, you know. Oh, here we are. Oh, wait, I found it. Okay, let me bring this up here. I want to read a little bit of this, because this is not embargoed. And it is due to go out in 2 days, so this is no embargo here. It says for immediate release, so I guess that means we can talk about it on the show. And here, I'll read a paragraph here. Well, here, you know what? Let me just, what the hell? I'm just going to read the whole thing here, or most of it anyway, until I get tired of reading it. Okay, this is for immediate release, May 30th, 2014, Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender Pride Month 2014, by the President of the United States, a proclamation. As progress spreads from state to state, as justice is delivered in the courtroom, as more of our fellow Americans are treated with dignity and respect, our nation becomes not only more accepting, but more equal as well. During Lesbian, Gay, Bisexual, and Transgender LGBT Pride Month, we celebrate victories that have affirmed freedom and fairness, and we recommit ourselves to completing the work that remains. Last year, supporters of equality, now listen carefully here, last year, supporters of equality celebrated the Supreme Court's decision to strike down a key provision of the Defense of Marriage Act, a ruling which, at long last, gave loving, committed families the respect and legal protections they deserve. In keeping with this decision, my administration is extending family and spousal benefits from immigration benefits to military family benefits to legally married same-sex couples. Okay, now here we go. Okay, needless to say, notice what goes first. Marriage, 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 marriage. Oh, and also marriage. Now, okay, well, we go a little further down, and now they finally remember that there are people who go to work, too. Here he goes. My administration proudly stands alongside all those who fight for LGBT rights. Here at home, we have strengthened laws against violence towards LGBT Americans, taken action to prevent bullying, harassment, and prohibited discrimination in housing and hospitals. Despite this progress, LGBT workers in too many states can be fired just because of their sexual orientation or gender identity. I continue to call on Congress, because I'm a fucking pussy, to correct this injustice by passing the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. In the years ahead, we will remain dedicated to addressing health disparities, translation, we ain't doing shit, within the LGBT community by implementing the Affordable Care Act. Now, actually, I can't say that. That's not true. Okay? Because there was a major thing that just happened. And we will get to that in 2 seconds. We don't have a lot of time left. I only got about 5 minutes left, so let me rush through this. This is basically... It's more marriage, 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 marriage. Oh, yeah, and, you know, Congress should pass the Employment Non-Discrimination Act. Just don't ask me to do shit, okay? So it's another one of those bullshit pride proclamations that we get every year from this president. You know, you can tell. Can you tell it's an election year? I knew that you could. In any case, so major development today, just announced. Apparently, the Department of Health and Human Services has now ruled that there are no longer any blanket exclusions to transgender health care. In other words, surgery and hormones and things like that. There used to be just a blanket exclusion. Anytime you ask for them, they just refuse. Those exclusions are gone. Now, nobody's necessarily going to get anything as a result. But they said, well, we're going to take away the blanket exclusion. What that means, well... as usual with this administration, nobody really quite knows what that means because they're so obtuse and so afraid and so cowardly of ever going on the record about anything regarding LGBT workplace rights that nobody knows what it really means. Unfortunately. Because they're such fucking cowards and excuse makers and liars. I mean, these guys have been bullshitting us for 5 years now. I mean, seriously. So, we don't know what that means. We don't know. Unfortunately, if history is to be our guide, I wouldn't count on too much because this is an administration that has made clear that they are going to do the very, very, very minimum they could possibly do and still appear credible on equality. Because that's what they do. They don't give a shit about you and I. They only care about rich people who want to get married, preferably white people who have lots and lots and lots and lots of money to give to the Democratic Party. Because that's really what it's all about. Cha-ching! Yes, cha-ching! That's what it's about for Barack Obama, too. That's what it's about for Nancy Pelosi, and that's what it's about for most of the Democratic leadership. We've got some good ones out there. Don't get me wrong. I'm not going to call out people. I mean, we've got the Elizabeth Warrens, and we've got the Bernie Sanderses. We've got the Jeff Merkleys, and we've got some of these other folks. But you know what? There's too many of these cha-chings. Cha-ching. Cha-ching. Where are you? Andrew Cuomo. Cha-ching. Yeah. Okay? Too many of those kind of people, too many of these profit-driven cha-ching people infesting the Democratic Party and infesting offices like the governor's office in New York. And this is why. You want to know why trans people still have no civil rights in the state of New York? Two words. And those words are Andrew Cuomo. All right, we are out of time. That about does it. Thanks for tuning in. Needless to say, we will be back next week. Jennifer Levi of Gay and Lesbian Allies and Defenders, GLAAD, the GLAAD with one A. We're going to be talking about that HHS ruling. So be sure to tune in next week. We will catch you then. Have a good night, everybody.